we need a clickbait headline for this segment. Something like, what every 40-year-old should know about the CPP but was afraid to ask. Rob Carrick, personal finance columnist at the Globe and Mail. Back to talk about CPP, the Canada Pension Plan. Rob, how do we, like, we need to dress it up. We need to rebrand it. We need a celebrity endorsement, something that is going to make people care. Because you're 55, you care. You're 40 years old, you don't care.
Well, my suggestion is money for life.
Ooh, I like that.
You know what? It's you retire and you start collecting your CPP. If you live to be 153, you're getting CPP right through.
Yeah.
And I hear all the time, oh, the CPP, if I die young, I forfeit my benefits. There's a tiny survivor's benefit. It's true. But mostly, you know what, if you put a ton of money into the CPP over your working life, you die at 66, yes, it goes back into the pot. But the risk is that you're going to live way longer than you think, not way less than you think. And the CPP has you covered. And I think that's pretty big.
I am a full-on Gen Xer. What is the number one thing my cohort should know about the CPP?
It's super safe and it is going to be there for you. I hear a lot of, you know, the younger you are, the more suspicious you are about the CPP. And I find that I'm doing a lot of work to reassure people, especially the younger people, that their parents' generation, that the boomers aren't gonna dip into it and to fund their health care or something like that, and that it will be there. So I would tell you, rely on it.
Yeah, and in terms of performance, the CPP holds up pretty well against its global peers, right? As a pension plan.
Right. One thing I'm always helping people understand is the CPP Investment Board invests the money in the CPP, but we don't actually get that return. What they're basically doing is trying to build the pot of money up. And so it's not like my money is, you know, growing at that rate. When you look at what your return on you get from CPP, in terms of what you put in and what you get out, it's not a great return on investment. You could probably do better yourself, but what if you couldn't? What if you made a mistake? What if you made a mistake 1 year before you retired? What if we had 2008 again the year before you retired? With the CPP, it's all taken care of for you. Professional people are looking after the investments. They're doing quite well, as you said, but that money's sort of going back into the pot to sort of build up our reserves, so there's always enough money to pay out what's owed.
If that Gen Xer saved nothing in their RSP during their career and they don't have a defined benefit or a defined contribution pension plan, the CPP is going to be it. This is your main source of income.
Right, NOAS.
Yeah, NOAS, right. Maybe they might get the guaranteed income supplement depending on where they are. But what sort of retirement should people have in their mind? And the reason I ask it this way is there seems to be some delusion about what retirement will look like if you don't save something to supplement the CPP and OAS.
Well, it'll be pretty grim unless you're working, because between OAS and CPP, it is really, if you live your life in sort of a low income situation, OAS and CPP and GIS together may give you a roughly comparable retirement income to your working income. But if you're middle class and you've been used to earning more and spending more and having higher expenses, you are not going to cover it with OAS and CPP. Now they've enhanced the CPP to provide a slightly bigger foundation, but in no way does that take away the need to save on your own. In no way.
What's the net of those changes? They received much profile. What difference will they make in tangible terms?
It's going to make something in the order of $5,000 to $6,000 a year, in current dollars. I forget the exact numbers, but it's not a life changer. But you know, on a percentage basis, it's fairly significant. Who would say no to that much money extra in a year? But is that going to sort of elevate you from sort of having to count every nickel and dime to being comfortable? No, it's just going to give you a little bit more of a margin.
Rob Carrick is our guest, personal finance columnist with the Globe and Mail. The rollout on those changes will take some time. Will a 40-year-old benefit, or is it my 6-year-old who's really going to be benefiting?
Well, it's your 6-year-old who's really going to benefit. You know, the older workers, the government hasn't released all the full details on this, but it looks like there's going to be some sort of a small prorated amount if you're still a ways from retirement. Remember, these changes to the CPP are going to be unfolded gradually. So it's going to take. They're not starting until 2019. So the idea is clearly not to help today's retirees. It's to help the Gen Xers, but more prominently the Gen Yers, the Millennials, and Generation Z, the younger generation as well.
One of the things that people do get to decide is when they turn on the taps on CPP. And if you start taking it before age 65, it's going to affect what you get. How do people need to think that through? Because they are stealing from their future self if they decide to take it early.
Right. It's a question that gets asked a ton. And a couple of parameters for answering that question. One, what's your health like and what's your family's health like? If you think you are going to live a good long life, you may well want to wait to get the bigger, not collected at 60, but wait till 65 or even later than that to collect a larger benefit. If you think you may not be spending that much time in retirement, or if you really need money, take it at 60.
Right.
Those are basically the rules. But you're quite correct. The longer you wait, the more generous the benefit is and the more meaningful it'll be to you.
Now, not everyone gets the same amount of money in retirement. What should people know about what to expect? Because it correlates to their working years, right?
Well, for sure. You know what? What's interesting about the CPP is they often talk about the maximum benefit, but the average benefit is much less. So there's a lot of people who don't have high incomes, and they're not generating the maximum CPP benefit. You can easily find out from the CPP people. Go online, just Google how much CPP benefit am I going to get, and you'll find the procedure for getting the amount. Make sure you're eligible for OAS, and then what have you got in your own savings? What have you got in your company pension plan if you're fortunate enough to have one? By the time you reach about age 40, it's time to start getting answers to those questions. And then as you get to 50, you really need to know where you are and where you want to be. And then you have to get yourself from one point to the other.
Yeah. Broadly speaking, what would you say to 40-year-olds about the clawbacks that can occur connected to a bunch of different government offerings? So there is income testing to some of these things.
Yeah, there is. I mean, if you're at the very low end and you think you might be collecting the guaranteed income supplement, I would say put all your money in TFSAs and do not use RRSPs. Because if you can pull savings out of a TFSA and it won't affect your ability to collect GIS or OAS or anything like that. For the clawback of OAS, that basically applies for people who are very comfortable. I think people get their noses bent out of shape on that for without really a good understanding what's going on. If your OAS is getting clawed back, you're in good shape.
Yeah, that's actually good news.
Yeah, it's good news. Yeah, it's basically the government saying, well done, you have saved a lot. We're just going to take away the supplement that we give people to help them to make sure that they're okay in retirement. You clearly don't need it, so we're going to take it back. I mean, people get really, really peeved about that. I think it's way overdone.
I share your glasses half full view of that. Rob Carrick, personal finance columnist with the Globe and Mail. Thank you very much.
Glad to do it, Bruce.